We're going to be looking at the Word of God this morning from the book of John. And don't jump to any conclusions when I point you to where it is, because it's the resurrection. No, not the resurrection. It's the crucifixion. And I'm going to draw from there the words of Jesus. And we want to talk about what Jesus said from the cross, in terms of where we are today. Amen. So it's in John chapter 19, and we'll read verse 28, 29, and 30. How's that? John 19, verse 28, 29, and 30. And it reads like this. After this, and you'll have to read the whole scripture there to see what after this is. But after this, knowing that all things were now accomplished. Very important. It's a very important word there. Accomplished. That the scripture might be fulfilled. Kind of another way of saying accomplished. Jesus said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine, we would probably call it vinegar, was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine and put it on hyssop, like a cotton ball, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Will you open our eyes to behold wondrous things from your word today? Will you open our ears? The Word of God says that those of us who have ears to hear, let us hear. Help us to hear this morning. And then, Father, will you touch our hearts that what we hear, what we take into our hearts today, we will walk out in our lives this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' powerful words to us that we're going to look at this morning is, it is finished. And again, if I were entitling this, I would probably call it something like a biblical closure. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning, is closure. So, a biblical closure. Everything we do needs to have its basis from the Word of God. Amen? We need to live the Scriptures. The Apostle said we are living epistles known and read of all men. So people see us. Another Scripture says, Let your good works glorify your Father in heaven. Live your life so that when people see how you live, the salt and light that both Bob and Ramona mentioned there, give people a glimpse of who you and I follow, who we worship. So we have a biblical basis for everything we do. There is a biblical basis for my being here today. Amen? And that biblical basis is this. Everything, and the wise man, Solomon, wrote it in his writings, to everything, there's a season. All right? And so, biblical closure, though, is about completing. When Jesus said it is finished, He completed, He fulfilled. Jesus Himself said about Himself, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. Jesus came to fulfill the law that you and I just can't seem to keep. Amen. And so, the closure is that what was required was accomplished. Jesus came to accomplish, to fulfill the will of God. Jesus' final words on the cross, there in John 19:30, are profound. They don't signify defeat, but rather completion. Jesus didn't say, I quit. He didn't say, I'm done. I'm out of here. No, He said, it is finished. It's a sign of completion. It calls on us to reflect how you and I approach when things are completed or when they reach their end or their fulfillment. Whether it's a ministry, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business, there are seasons of transition. That's where we are. Amen. So what is the relevance of that to our congregation today? As individuals and as a church, we encounter moments of closure. Times when a ministry or a relationship or a specific season of our life comes to an end. And how we close these chapters in our lives, how we end, how we complete, matters. Will we close them with sorrow and with reluctance? Or will we embrace them with a sense of completion and readiness for the next chapter that God has for us, that God has prepared for us? Because can I tell you this morning, nothing catches God by surprise. Amen. And so understanding biblical closure, it's not an ending that needs to be grieved on. Jesus' earthly ministry always pointed. Jesus Himself said of Himself, this is the reason I came into the world. He came into the world to fulfill His ministry on that cross. For this purpose, I came into the world. From the moment He began, His goal was to complete the Father's will. I came not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And so Jesus embraced closure, knowing that His work was not the end or defeat, but in resurrection. Right? Hallelujah. A new beginning, born anew. His willingness to finish His task on the cross paves the way for you and I to be able to embrace closure with confidence and not with trepidation. Imagine an architect who spends years planning to build a structure and builds that structure, and when it's complete, he doesn't sit down and mourn. No, they celebrate. They have grand openings and stuff like that. It's the joy of completion. Similarly, when we recognize a closure in our lives, it's not a dead end. It's a fulfillment. And so the Apostle Paul closed out his earthly ministry by saying this, I have finished my course. Of course, now he's getting ready to do the great transition, not the temporary transition that you and I are going through. But we need to allow space for personal and congregational grief when we go through this kind of transition. You know, I know super Christians, don't you? Don't you just love super Christians? Don't you love to be around people that are just, you know, they're walking on the clouds every minute of their day? It's a little hard for me to keep up with them, okay? I'll just tell you that right out of the chute. But I'm thankful that people can do that. But here's what I know. I know as a chaplain, because part of the ministry that I've spent for the last 20 years is chaplaincy and training chaplains. And what I know is that grief is an important part of transition. Because anything that comes to an end that we've poured ourselves into, it creates grief, creates an opportunity for grief. But I love what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul did not say, oh, you shouldn't grieve. That bothers me when people will stop people from grieving or tell them, oh, you just need to move on. Stuff like that. There's no moving on from grief. But what there is adjusting to and recognizing. But Paul said, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. There it is right there. We grieve, yes, but we also have hope. Amen? And so that is a biblical approach to grieving. In the story of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah heard about what was going on in Jerusalem, he grieved. He grieved so hard that the king took notice of it. And then you know the rest of the story. The king allowed him to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. God in His infinite wisdom uses closure to lead us to new opportunities. God knows His plan for living water. Amen? God knows His plan for you. And God knows that even in this time of change, this time of transition, this time of possible grieving. Now listen, I've been through this many, many times in my ministry, okay? This is, I didn't just walk into this. And I know that there are a lot of reasons that there are pastoral changes. Some of them are normal, like this one. It is normal at some point in a pastor's ministry for them to recognize it's time for me to retire. That's normal. And we respect that. We appreciate that. My wife tells me I'm not good at retiring. You know, I've pastored a lot of churches, and in my last church that I was the long-term pastor of was in Chandler, and when I went to retire in Chandler, my wife says, "Now, is this a real retirement?" And so, but what the Lord has allowed me to do now, since I have time and some experience in pastoring, what the Lord has allowed me to do is this now. The ability to come in when a pastor retires or passes or whatever reasons. We thank God this morning. Ramona was taking praise reports. That's great. We praise God this morning that our reason for this transition is a positive reason. Amen. And we rejoice with Sister, bless you, Naomi. I want to look at some examples. God makes a way through closure. I want to reach all the way back to Isaiah. And I love the book of Isaiah. But back in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, it says, forget the former things. Now, you got to read it in context. God isn't telling living waters to just forget the past. God isn't saying that. He's telling the people, the Israel in Isaiah, don't worry about what you've done. Don't worry about God is getting ready to do a new thing in you. Don't dwell on that. He says, don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. God is going to do a new thing. And in His infinite wisdom, He uses closure to lead us to new opportunities. Just as Jesus' death on the cross led to the resurrection, so too does God lead us from one closed door to another open one. And so God would like for us to learn to embrace these closures and look for the new opportunities that God is going to present to us. Actually, I get excited about these transitions. I honor and recognize the pain and the grief that is involved, having gone through it personally. I understand the pain and the grief involved in pastoral transitions. But I'm also thrilled about what God has in store. And so we're going to have, as a body, we're going to have to inquire of the Lord, aren't we? We're going to have to ask the Lord to open that up to us, to reveal that to us. And so I think about it like the butterfly. And I don't know if it's a completely great analysis, but I think it's a good metaphor. The worm, you know, the caterpillar, crawls in and then gets wrapped up in that cocoon. And what happens in that cocoon completely transforms that caterpillar completely. And when they come out of that cocoon, you see, in that cocoon, that caterpillar could think, man, I am so bound up here and I'm so restricted. And it could really interpret its position negatively. Okay? But it doesn't realize where it's going. What's going to come of that? The beautiful butterflies that you and I enjoy. God works in similar ways in our lives, turning our endings into transformations. Amen? So closure is inevitable. Life has beginnings and endings, right? And so we acknowledge this ending. Picture a farmer at the end of a planting season. Any farmers in the house? Anybody ever planted anything? I grew up on a farm, but I'm not a farmer. You know, I have great respect for our farmers. Hey, no farmers, no food. That's just the reality of it, unless you want to eat chemicals. And I don't want to get into that today. But I thank God for our farmers. But farmers, they plant, and after months of hard work, the farmer steps back knowing that the season is complete. The ground's been tilled, the seeds have been planted, and he waits, or she waits for the harvest. The work of planting is done, but the promise of harvest lies ahead. And so similarly, we finish seasons in our lives faithfully trusting God that He will bring growth in His time. So closure is inevitable, but it's not something to be feared, and it's not something to be avoided. Whether it's a transition in our own personal lives, like some of you are going through right now, you have a transition in your life of a personal loss. And so now you're facing a new reality. But whether it's in our personal lives, in our church, the biblical closure is about finishing well and trusting God for what comes next. I just feel like I need to ask us, and again, I'm not pointing fingers. I'm asking us to think, to reflect. Do I trust God? Do I trust God? Do we as a body trust God today? He knows our name. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're dealing with, what we're going through. And He cares more than we can understand. I love that phrase that we used last week, that we have more problems than we could ever fix, but we are more loved than we could ever imagine. And so God loves us today. And God wants us to be able to face where we are with the confidence that He has a plan for our life. Amen? It's not the bishop's plan. It's not my plan. It's not even your plan. It's God's plan. When Jesus knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer that He prayed, even in His struggle. Do you love reading in the Bible that Jesus, the God-man, struggled in prayer? That just so humanizes Him to me. Because can I confess to you this morning that there are times I struggle in prayer. But, oh, the comfort of knowing that I'm not the first and I won't be the last. Jesus struggled in the garden in prayer with the Father. He even went so far as to say, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But He didn't leave it there, and we can't leave it there. He went on to say, but nevertheless, oh, I love the neverthelesses of the Word of God. Not my will, but Thy will be done. Oh, there are so many times Jesus references the will of the Father. Even to the point where He teaches His disciples, and consequently through the Word of God, He teaches you and me to pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think we could personalize it here this morning, and we could say, Father, Your kingdom come and Your will be done in living waters as it is in heaven. Lord, we have ideas, we have thoughts, we have suggestions. No, isn't it great that you and I suggest things to the Lord? You know, but in all of that, we surrender that to the will of God, just as Jesus in His last moment, in His last words on the cross, submitted to the will of God. And said, Father, I have completed what You called me to do. I have finished the job. And now, and He just releases Himself to the Father. Why? Because He completed, He fulfilled the will of God for His life. And that's our prayer. We want to be in the will of God, and we want to fulfill God's call in our life. So as we close this morning in prayer, I want to ask us, reflect on our life. Reflect on what closures, besides the pastoral change, what closures are you facing in your life today? Are there chapters that are ending? Are there jobs that are completing? Are there tasks God has called you to complete? Today, we embrace closure with the same faith Jesus demonstrated on the cross, knowing that God is at work even in the endings, and in the endings to bring new beginnings. I had an elder brother about 10 or 11 years older than I. He's gone to the glory. But I was impressed, so impressed, because his first church was in a little town called Hastings, Michigan. His first church. And 70 years later, his first wife had passed, and 5 years later, he remarried. He and his new wife were driving through the country, you know, and they went through Hastings, and my brother Jay said to Joy, "Let me show you the first church I ever pastored." And they drove by, and do you know there was a lock on the door? There was a lock on the door. And my brother called the state office, and he said, "What's going on with the church in Hastings?" And the overseer said, "Well, we're closing it." And my brother, Jay, 70 years later, he says, "No, you're not. No, you're not." And he reopened that church and renamed it. And the name of that church is New Beginnings. Now, I might have got the years wrong. Please don't judge me on that. Sometimes I get my math wrong. But the idea is that even though there was a closure, God had another plan. And that church is still thriving today under new leadership. And we praise God for that. So what is it? What is it that God is speaking to us today? Because you're a part of this. You're a part of the history and the present and the future of Living Water. And God is stirring in you things that He would like to do in and through you through this ministry we call Living Water. And I challenge you today. Again, sometimes the teacher just comes out of me. I like to give homework. Not very much, but a little bit. But I would like to challenge you today, this week, to ask God, what is it that you want to bring closure to in my life? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's an argument. Maybe it's a disagreement. Maybe it's time to end some of that stuff and start new. Whatever it is. See, I'm not standing here telling you need to do. No, I'm challenging us this week to ask the Lord, what is it that you want to bring closure to in my life, in our life, so that we can see the new beginning of what you want to do, because like you said to Isaiah, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." I want God to do a new thing in your life. I want God to do a new thing in your life. Maybe I should have started with that. But see, here's the reality. We can't start the new until we deal with the old. Amen. We can't start the opening till we deal with the closing. And so our prayer this week, God help us to deal with the ending and be open to the beginning, the new. I'll close with this. Paul says in Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, we're in Christ today, right? But he says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, and the new has begun. And that's our prayer this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We do pray that the word of God, that is a living word, will stir in our hearts, will find residence in our heart, and will resonate with us, and that will germinate in us, Lord. And cause us to reflect this week on the things that need to come to an end so that the new can be born. The new can begin. Help us, Lord, in this time of transition to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways to acknowledge you, so that you can direct our path. In the beautiful, wonderful, and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said, Amen. Praise God.